Hey there, wonderful parents. It's Kathy here, your self-esteem booster and host on the Tips for Parenting Youngsters podcast, your go-to for parenting tips. I'm on a mission to help you reach your full potential and create a nurturing and safe family environment. I am not here to beat you up for your past parenting mistakes, but instead to focus on three critical pillars that I learned from being a parent and grandparent that turned myself and my family life around. My three pillars are assertive communication, conflict resolution, and those all-important healthy boundaries, all of which lead to raising self-esteem in your children and yourself. So let's get started. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. As a parent, I messed up a lot. Parenting doesn't come with a manual. It is on-the-job training. Your youngsters will give you your most significant life lessons if you pay attention. I started my parenting journey by knowing how my parents parented, and I wasn't going to parent my children the same way. I wanted to swing the pendulum the other way so my youngsters had higher self-esteem and self-worth. However, some parenting behaviors were inherent, such as spanking and yelling. One day in a heated argument with my oldest daughter and husband, my husband brought my uncontrolled yelling to my attention. That was my aha moment when I started on the journey of self-discovery to be a better parent, and in doing so, also became a better person. What I remember mostly from my childhood was the hitting, name-calling, and unfair responsibility. As I have mentioned before, my mother was emotionally unstable and suffered from bouts of depression and anger issues. As the oldest of four, I took on many parenting responsibilities. Having to parent my siblings led to enormous conflict between my sister and brothers, causing all kinds of sibling rivalry that continues today. So grab your favorite beverage, find a comfy spot, and let's get into today's topic of sibling rivalry. This is Tips for Parenting Youngsters, where every episode brings you closer to building self-esteem and stronger, more meaningful relationships with your children. Sibling rivalry occurs when siblings feel jealous, competitive, or resentful towards each other. They argue over toys, parents' attention, or what TV show to watch. It's important to understand that sibling rivalry doesn't mean siblings don't love each other. It's just a natural part of having brothers and sisters. I am not here to blame you, but to bring awareness to how parents contribute to sibling rivalry. Here are four common ways. First, could be jealousy. Sometimes one sibling might feel jealous of the other. For example, if a younger sibling gets more attention from parents because they need more help with homework, the older sibling might feel left out. Growing up, I was mostly happy and easy to get along with. My sister, on the other hand, she was more stubborn and difficult. Consequently, I received more attention from family and friends. My mom made sure I knew how unfair it was to my sister, even though I did nothing wrong. Unfairness caused all kinds of resentment between my sister and myself. Competition is another way. Siblings might compete for different things, like who is better at sports or who gets to sit in the car's front seat. Competition leads to arguments and hurt feelings. You might relate to this if you have a sister. I was walking down the hall at school and saw my sister wearing the outfit I bought with the money I earned. I was saving wearing it for a party coming up. My sister waited to dress until after I left for school because she knew better. I was angry. My sister wanted something that I had without having to work for it. Try to avoid comparisons. Every sibling has unique interests, talents, and personalities. Try not to compare your children to each other. Celebrate each other's unique skills and accomplishments and avoid playing favorites. One child might work in finance and follow in your footsteps. One child might work in the arts. Value each for their uniqueness. My mom did not acknowledge the differences between my sister and me. I loved sports, and my sister loved reading. My mom constantly wanted my sister to get outside and be active like I was, which was more than my sister wanted. My sister and I shared a bedroom. I loved a tidy room. My sister loved a messy room. My sister and I had endless fights about our bedroom. Who was to clean up the room? Who did more than who? How my mom handled these arguments contributed to the relationship between my sister and myself. As I mentioned before, try to be fair to all your youngsters. Siblings might feel like you mistreat them. They might think one sibling gets away with breaking the rules while the other one always gets in trouble. Unfairness was a big part of how I was raised. My mom believed I should know better because I was the oldest, so I was responsible for all the fights. One day, my brother was a troublemaker and was causing a fight. When mom asked what happened, my brother and I told our stories. My mom replied, "Kathy, you are the oldest. You know better." Years later, my brother confessed to me that he was the actual instigator of the fight. He also took advantage of being the golden child that day. So, how can you help to manage sibling rivalry? You can try active listening. Listen to your youngster's feelings when they are upset or angry, and tell them you understand. Validate their emotions and reassure them that feeling that way is okay. In a previous episode, I talked about active listening. As a reminder, here are the 5 key elements of active listening. Give your full attention by stopping what you are doing. Make eye contact and look your child in the eye. Use verbal and nonverbal cues by nodding or acknowledging what they say. Paraphrase what your child told you so they can clear up any confusion. And lastly, withhold judgment. This encourages open communication without fear of punishment. As a parent and grandparent, I continue to hone these skills I talk about to build self-esteem in the children I'm involved with. Currently, I help grades 1 and 2 by listening to them read. Not all of them are great readers, and those children love to talk. They talk about anything so they don't have to read. I listen. Really listen. Being a parent myself, I can empathize with the struggles their parents are going through. I hope listening to these little ones helps the parents by giving them undivided attention, so when these kids get home, they are not so demanding to be heard. Another way is to set clear rules and boundaries. Ensure your youngsters know the rules and what happens if they don't follow them. When my children were home, I was mostly a single parent because my husband's work took him away during the week. Man, that was hard. I felt tired and overwhelmed most of the time, which made it challenging to maintain consistency in enforcing rules, such as how much time they watch TV. Nowadays, it's screen time. Most of the time, I gave in to my children's request for more TV. However, this inconsistency sent mixed messages to my children and undermined the effectiveness of the boundary. Ultimately, while it's natural for you to feel tired and overwhelmed, making an effort to prioritize consistency in enforcing boundaries can help create a more harmonious family environment and promote positive behavior in children. For screen time, try implementing strategies to make boundary enforcement easier, such as setting up parental controls on devices or creating a visual schedule to help children understand and follow the rules independently. Additionally, you can communicate openly with your children about the importance of everyone in the family working together to maintain household rules, including screen time boundaries. You can foster cooperation and mutual respect by involving children in discussions about family expectations and responsibilities. Another way is to help your children resolve conflicts. Teach them how to listen to each other's perspectives, express their feelings calmly, and find solutions for everyone. I learned a fantastic way to resolve conflicts when raising my three children. There were times when tension was high in the house due to unresolved conflicts. Even the littlest conflict, if not dealt with, holds a grudge. When this happened, any one of us would send out a written note to hold a family meeting. We didn't have cell phones back then to text each other. We would gather around the dining room table in our pajamas on the said date and time. Dressing in our pajamas made us more equal and less confrontational. The rules were each person had a chance to speak their mind, and there was no name calling. We would work on new boundaries, and once everyone was happy, we would lick a bit of peanut butter off a spoon. Licking the spoon signified that everyone agreed to our resolution and the meeting ended. You can adapt this idea to current times. The point is to deal with unresolved conflict. All those unresolved conflicts damage relationships, causing siblings to feel hurt and resentful towards each other, which creates grudges and more grudges, ultimately destroying the relationship. Unresolved conflicts never go away. In conclusion, how we parent contributes to siblings' relationships later in life. As I reflect, my mom continued to keep us siblings apart even after her death. I know the way she parented was part of her illness. Unfortunately, my siblings did not have the same awareness I have of what happened. Consequently, the conflict between us continues. As a parent, I worked hard to resolve conflicts between myself and my youngsters and between them. Some people are not open to resolving conflict because it doesn't serve them. I am happy to say my family enjoy each other's company. It warms my heart to see my son drop in on his sister or my two daughters sharing a laugh. I can't take all the credit because at the end of the day, what we value determines our relationships. I am sharing my stories to shine a light on how families are interrelated and to reflect on our upbringing to become better parents. Parenting can be challenging. If you have thoughts, questions, or stories, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at Kathy@parentingyoungsters.com and let's start a conversation. Your input helps shape the content of my podcast and creates a supportive community for parents like you. Thank you, listeners, for embarking on this journey with me today. Your time and attention are precious, and I am genuinely grateful that you chose to spend them with the Tips for Parenting Youngsters podcast. Your support and engagement mean the world to me. As I bring this episode to a close, I invite you to subscribe to my podcast, Tips for Parenting Youngsters, and listen to episodes which drop every Thursday. Discover strategies for positive parenting. Embark on a journey of self-discovery and join me as I navigate the complexities of parenting to build stronger family bonds and self-esteem. Next week, I'll discuss the topic of power struggles. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you feel like you're wrestling for control? It could be with your spouse or children. Well, you're not alone. I'll talk about power struggles and how to deal with them, especially in the family. There is always time to rewrite your family story. Break free from patterns that no longer serve you and create a home filled with love, understanding, and unwavering support. I'm here to guide you every step of the way. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?